In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God promises, even in the midst of promising salvation to us, He also promises to provide for those whom He saves. We heard it in the psalm this morning when He said, "I will bless the church's provisions. I will satisfy her poor with bread." And true to God's Word, down the ages, our Lord has provided not only abundant salvation to all those who call on His name, but even food for the poor. And we see it from the time of the Old Testament all the way through to our present age. One of the stories we see in the Old Testament is one of the great prophets of the Old Testament, Elisha. He was often used throughout his days to provide for God's people in times of need, whether those times of need were brought on by famine, or by illness of the provider for the family, or even by poor money management. And you may know the account of a poor widow whose husband had been a prophet, and how she was in such dire straits that she was about to have her children seized and taken from her and sold as slaves to pay off her debt. And she says to Elisha, and tells this plight of hers to him, and Elisha says to her, "What's in your house?" And she says, "Well, only a jar of oil." And he says to her, "Go to the neighbors and borrow as many jars as you possibly can and pour that oil into those empty jars and keep pouring the oil until you run out of jars." And somehow, miraculously, God provides for her, causing that one jar of oil to multiply into many, 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 many jars. Complete, utter miracle, breaking the laws of physics. And when she sells that oil, she not only had enough money to pay for her debts, but also enough to live on and provide for herself and her two sons. And in that very same chapter, we hear another story, another account of Elisha, when a faithful man of God comes to Elisha with 20 barley loaves, offering it to the Lord. And Elisha says, "Go and give it to the 100 prophets, who the sons of the prophets, basically the pastors of the day." And the man is embarrassed. He says, "These 20 loaves are nowhere near enough to set before 100 men. It won't be enough. They won't have enough to eat." And Elisha says, "The Lord says, they shall eat and have some left over." And according to the word of the Lord, it was exactly as Elisha said. The 100 men ate and they had lots left over. Because you see, the word of God does all things. The Word of God is the source of power behind the universe. It's what created the universe. It's what saves us. And the Word of God even provides superabundantly for you and for me, even using the little bit that we have to provide more than enough. And so our Lord, Jesus Christ, echoes these same events out of the Old Testament with the feeding of the 5,000. And, of course, I've been talking the last couple of years about the meaning of numbers in Scripture. And so you might ask, well, why 5,000? Other than that, it's a big number. It's an impressive number. And you might recall, 5 is the number, just from a week or two back, we talked a little bit about this. 5 is the number that represents God's Word. Why? Because the first 5 books of the Bible are the foundation of the whole Old Testament. They teach everything that the rest of the Old Testament teaches. They're the 5 books written by Moses. In Hebrew, they're called the Torah, which means the law. So anytime you hear the Bible talking about the law and the prophets, we're talking about those first 5 books, the Torah. In Greek, they're known as the Pentateuch, the 5, the Holy 5. So 5 is the number that represents God's Word, the foundation, the first 5 books, the books written by Moses, the one who was the mediator of that old covenant given at Mount Sinai. And 1,000 in the Bible is the number of fulfillment. So anything that is 1,000, if it's a number that is meant to be representative, is a number that means this is completely and totally fulfilled. And so 5, if 5 is the number of God's Word, especially the old covenant, 5 is the fulfillment 5,000 is the fulfillment of that whole old covenant. And how does our Lord fulfill and show that the old covenant has become fulfilled? He does it with 5 barley loaves. And just like Elisha fed more than was physically possible with those barley loaves and there were lots left over, so Jesus feeds more than is physically possible with 5 barley loaves. An even more impressive miracle than Elisha's miracle. And it echoes back to Moses as well in our Old Testament reading. Moses, who wrote those holy 5 books and presided over the miraculous bread that came down from heaven that was there every morning. Because, of course, the point is that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And why is that true? Because of the fact that even the food that you eat, even that food that sustains your body, is a result of God giving it to you. God is the one who has commanded that it come to you, that it reach your table. He's the one who has ordained it. He is the one who sustains the world so that the sun and the rain give food to the sower and bread to the eater. He's the one who sustains things so that people fulfill their callings, their vocations, and do all the jobs necessary for that food to come to your table. And so without God's gracious providence for us, we wouldn't have food. And so even the food that we have comes from God. And that is to remind us that it's not food that sustains us. It's God's Word that sustains us. And so our Lord takes those 5 loaves in the Gospel reading, one for each of the 5 books of the Old Covenant, and He gives thanks to who? To His Father in heaven, whose Word our Lord speaks. And He breaks those loaves, and He gives those loaves to the people who are there. And those loaves are so super abundant. There's so much food that 5,000 men eat their fill. And then there's 12 baskets of food left over. One basket for each of the 12 apostles of Jesus. And that means the Old Testament is fulfilled, but it also means that the New Testament has been provided for. Those 5 books that form the foundation of the Old Covenant and that they teach all that we ultimately need to know as the New Testament church, we receive exactly what the Old Covenant gives to us in and through our Lord. And so those 5 loaves feed the 5,000 and they provide all that is needed for the New Testament church. Now, it wasn't just 5 loaves, though, was it? There are also 2 little fish. Really, possibly even likely sardines. Small fish. Not great big fish story. Little fish. 5 loaves, 2 fish. 5 plus 2 equals 7. And of course, 7, you may know or you may remember me saying over the last while, 7 is the number of salvation, the number of God, specifically of the Holy Spirit. And so 7 is a number that refers to the working of the Holy Spirit. And anytime we see 7 appearing, we should go, ooh, what's the Holy Spirit going to be up to when the Scripture writers put 7 into the text? And so they're basically telling us, ooh, the Holy Spirit's going to be doing something here. So our Lord's death fulfilled the Old Testament, brought it to an end, completed it, and provided all that is needed for the New Testament in our Lord's blood, including even the Holy Spirit who lives in and works through the church and her sacraments. Oh, and one thing I forgot. Why are there 2 fish? What's the representation of 2? Well, Old Testament, New Testament. The 5 represents God's Word, specifically of the Old Testament, and the Old Testament, the New Testament. And so 7, the working of the Holy Spirit in this miracle here. And all these numbers with their meanings, they're all found in the Old Testament. But those hungry people who were there, who saw this feeding, who received the bread from the Lord, they were focused on their tummies. And they missed the point altogether. It was hunger for God's Word that drew them into the wilderness after our Lord, who was teaching them God's Word, but their human need overcame their faith which clings to that word. And they forgot that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. They loved the bread that filled their mouths more than the word of God that comes from God's mouth. That free bread where they didn't expect it. They loved it, and they sought then to make the Lord king. But why? Why did they want to make the Lord king? They wanted to make him a bread king, a king who would feed them, a king who would do what they wanted him to do. And they had originally hungered for the living bread from heaven. That's what drew them out there into the wilderness. But a full stomach so easily distracts mankind, doesn't it? And it draws us away from our first love, just as it did for them. They wanted Jesus, but not because of his word at this point, but because of the free food. And of course, our Lord isn't about free food. He's not about food at all. Our Lord, his entire purpose was salvation. Your salvation, mine, the salvation of the whole world. And of course, he can more than provide for you and for me and for his church when there is need. He miraculously did it for Moses and the Israelites. He did it for so many others throughout the Old Testament. And even now, in the age of the New Testament, he works miracles and provides for his beloved, even now too. And many people here, I've heard from many of you, stories of unexplained things where the Lord somehow, with the little you had, allowed you to provide for you and your loved ones. I've heard those stories again and again, because even now in the era of the New Testament, we still have our Lord watching out for us and providing for us. But he's not about bread. He's about salvation. And that's what he distributes. Even when he gives you and me bread, he gives us salvation. Did you notice in this story how the Apostle John writes the story, this feeding of the 5,000? How it reads, "Our Lord took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them." Does that ring any bells? Exactly. That reminds us of the Lord's Supper, where the Lord distributes salvation along with bread and wine. And that's what our Lord wants you to know here. That he takes care of the big things. He takes care of salvation, your eternal salvation. And that means he'll take care of the little things too, your everyday life. And relatedly, did you notice that little detail in the story that St. John puts in? That little detail that there was much grass in that place. It's an odd little detail. It's especially when you're going through it in the Greek, it kind of pops out at you. Why in the world is that there? It's just an extraneous information that really doesn't seem to matter. Why is that there? Because the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me lie down in green pastures. And the word there, when it says that all those men sat down in that place where there was much grass, the word in Greek is to recline at table. You lay down. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He literally took his sheep out into the pasture land to feed them, both physically and spiritually. But the 23rd Psalm is not just about the Lord providing for you physically. For this good shepherd, it goes on in the Psalm, restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. And of course, we know that the green pastures and the quiet waters that restore our souls are our God's word and sacraments. And being a Christian, then, is really about craving the things that the shepherd provides for you. Those green pastures, those quiet waters, the word and the sacraments. But have no fear, little flock, for the Lord has chosen to give you the kingdom. And this kingdom of his is a miraculous kingdom. It's a kingdom where his people provide for each other as they are able. And he makes their feeble efforts, their little tiny bit, he makes it super abundantly, overflowingly more than you and I could ever ask or imagine. And as we heard in Acts chapter 2, even when the money physically isn't there, there's always enough there with the Lord, because you can't outgive God. He provides for you through each other. There might not always be enough by the world's standards, but there will be always more than enough, superabundantly enough to save you and to excessively provide for you. And this is our God, dear brothers and sisters. This is what He gives to His own body, His church. And so, repent of your worries. Repent of clinging to your wealth or to your comforts. Repent of your despair that God has abandoned you if you should lose such physical comforts. And repent of not trusting the Lord to provide for you physically with food and drink, with house and home. Repent of not trusting Him to provide for you spiritually, that He would be able to cover over the sins that plague you in your conscience, in your heart, that He would be able to heal the hurts that sin and Satan and the world have inflicted on you. For He is superabundantly able to meet and to exceed your needs of body and soul. That's what the precious blood of Jesus poured out at the cross gives to us. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.